Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on Sefer Yehoshua. We are learning for the merit of the IDF, as well as Israel's emergency services, as well as the hostages and the injured. And we are towards the end of Perek Hei of Chapter 5 in Yehoshua. Yesterday, we talked about the halting of the Mun, and how the Jews are now eating the produce from the land of Israel, another step in becoming residents of the land. It was unclear, there was a debate as to what exactly it means when it says they were eating avur ha'aretz, the produce of the land. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah said that this is a reference to the new grain. We talked about Yashan and Chadash, they now have the new year's grain. Whereas Radak said, no, it's grain that they bought off of local merchants. That was his own discussion. See the recording from yesterday. But when it says in chapter 5, sentence 10, that the man halted Mimacharas on the next day, meaning the day after the Karban Pesach, the 15th of Nisan, the 16th of Nisan, like we discussed yesterday, but when it says that the man halted, that raises a question. Because the Gemara talks about, hold on 1 second, there we go, the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, 9a, talks about the miracles that we had in the wilderness, in the Midbar. And it says that the three major miracles that are attributed to our three great leaders, Moshe, Aharon, and Miriam. So the Be'er, the well, is attributed to Miriam's merit. The Anan, the clouds that protect the Jews and lead the Jews through the Midbar, are in the merit of Aharon. And the Man is in the merit of Moshe. So the question arises, if the Man is in Moshe's merit, why doesn't it stop when Moshe passes away? We have this idea that Miriam's well stopped when Miriam passed away. That's why in Parshas Chukas, Moshe has to hit the rock, because he's supposed to talk to the rock, hit the rock. That's its own discussion. But why did they need to get water from a stone at all? What happened to Miriam's bear? The answer is that we're told in Parshas Chukas that Miriam passed away, and therefore the water stopped. Similarly, after Aaron's death is recorded, we're told that the Kanani attack, and it's explained that that's because the clouds that had come in the merit of Aaron disappeared, and therefore the Kananim attacked. So too, the Mun should have stopped when Moshe passed away. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says that it has an answer. Kiddushin Lamed Ches Amud Aleph 38a, B'shiva Ba'adar Meis Moshe, U'pasach Mun Mileirid. Indeed, Moshe passes away on the 7th of Adar. We've done that whole chronology with the 30 days of mourning and crossing the Yarden. He dies on the 7th of Adar. The Mun stops falling, U'pasach Mun Mileirid. And they used the man that they had in their vessels until the 16th of Nisan. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. Rashi brings it here on our pasuk. It means that the property of the man, that it would go bad every night, whatever you held over would go bad, stopped. At this point, it's no longer true. The man remains good for the next 40 days or so until the Jews are eating the new produce of the land. Fits very nicely with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we said yesterday, that this was a halachic issue, that they could not use the new grain until after the second day of Pesach. Ralbag says, you know, the text never actually said that the Mun stopped. Yeah, you could say what you want about what happened with Miriam's water, and you could say what you want about the clouds of Aharon, but you don't have any text that indicates that the Mun ever stopped. The text here says, Vayishbos Haman, the Mun halted, meaning it halted now. So Ralbag's position is that the Mun continued, even though it's in Moshe's merit, the Mun continued until now. There's an added benefit to Ralbag's comment, which is that we're told that the Mun lasted for 40 years. So remember, it didn't start the day that they entered into the Midbar. It starts, you know, a little bit after that. So your 40 years are now more precise if it lasted not until the 7th of Adar, but until the 16th of Nisan. If you want, I suppose you could still say, well, it lasted for 40 years, even if it didn't fall for 40 years, because they had the Mun that fell until the 7th of Adar, and then they just held on to it. You could do it either way. Of course, there's a whole separate problem, which is the Gemara Bava Metzia, Pei Vav Amud Beis, 86b, which says that the Mun was actually in Avraham's merit. right, that these three major miracles of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the well of Miriam, the clouds of Aaron, and the mun of Moshe, were all actually parallel to ways that Avram took care of the Malachim in the beginning of Parshas Vayera. So what do you do with that? So the Maharsha there says that Avraham would only have earned brief miracles, and what Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe did earned longer-lasting miracles. That's the Maharsha's answer. You could also suggest that Avraham, with his conduct, created a precedent for the Jewish people that influenced his descendants, such that this ends up being the type of behavior of Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe, which earns the miracles now. You could say, you know, you could give various answers. But in any case, bottom line, the mun either stopped when Moshe passed away and the Jews stored it until now, or the mun actually kept falling after Moshe's death, unlike the water of Miriam, unlike the clouds of Aharon. It endures longer until this point. Of course, the major takeaway out of the halting of the mun is no more ongoing miracles, right? That's the other piece of all of this. In the Midbar, the Jews have ongoing miracles, not just momentary things, the splitting of the Yamsuf or the swallowing up of Korach, but they have ongoing miracles like the mun. That's done. You're not going to live that way anymore. So no more mun. Now you have to become farmers or at least, buy the supermarket. Okay, that brings us to the last part of our chapter, the last three psukim, a visit to Yehoshua from a malach. So we'll talk about this today and, God willing, wrap it up tomorrow. And it was when Yehoshua was in Yericho. Remember, the Jews are camped at Arvos Yericho, the plains of Yericho. So Yehoshua is at Yericho. He picked up his eyes and he saw. Right? Those who were in Shul, Parshas Vayera, recall I talked about that phrase, Vayisa Einav Vayar, comes up a variety of times in Tanakh. He picks up his eyes and he sees, Vihine Ish Omed Lenegdo. And there's a man standing opposite him, and he's holding a sword, a drawn sword. Vayelech Yehoshua Elav, and Yehoshua goes up to him. Vayomer lo, halanu atayim litzareinu. He says, are you for us or are you against us? Are you with us or are you with our enemies? Vayomer lo. And he responds, this mysterious visitor says, no. Kani sartzva Hashem. I am, in fact, the officer of the army of God. Atavasi. I have come now. Full stop. Vayipol Yehoshua panav artza. Yehoshua falls on his face. Vayishtachu, he bows. Vayomer lo, ma adoni medaber al avdo. And he says, what does my master have to say to his servant? Vayomer sartzva Hashem al Yehoshua. So this officer of the forces of God says to Yehoshua, shalna alcha me'al raglecha. Remove your shoe from your feet, or from your foot. Ki amakom asher ata omed alav kodeshu. The place you're standing, that's holy. Vayas Yehoshua kein. And Yehoshua did it. End of conversation. The next sentence, beginning of Perek Vav, tells us that Yericho is all locked up because they're afraid of the Jews, and Hashem tells Yehoshua now to go attack Yericho and what he's supposed to do. So we have a lot of questions here, right? Does Yehoshua know that this is actually a malach, right? If Yehoshua knows that it's a malach, why does he say, are you for our enemies? Why would he think that he's for the enemy? If Yehoshua does not know that it's a malach, why does he approach a man with a sword alone, right? And why does he accept it when the man says, I'm a malach? Oh, okay, fine, you're a malach. Like, what is it, what convinces him? And what in the world is the mission of this malach? Because the story just stops. He tells him to take off his feet, he takes off his shoes, or one shoe, and then the story's over. And what is with the shoe? So there's a lot to understand here. And like I said, we're going to have to come back to this tomorrow. But one overall point from a Gemara that's difficult to understand and worth visiting. There's a separate passage that shows up in Yehoshua Perek Ches in chapter 8. Also an interesting passage. Chapter 8, sentences 9 to 13. In sentences 9 to 13 there, the Jews have already destroyed Yericho. They've then gone on to the city of Ai. They lost a war with Ai. They found out why they lost the war with Ai. They corrected the wrong that had led them to lose the war in Ai. And now they're preparing for the second war with the city of Ai. So an awful lot has happened. And then there we're told, chapter 8, sentence 9, that Yehoshua sends, he's arranging the troops for battle, so he sends a group into an ambush, excuse me. He sends them into an ambush for the people of Ai. He's going to lure the people of Ai out, and then the people who are lying in wait will be able to attack. And Vayolan Yehoshua balayla hahu b'socha am Yehoshua lay down that night among the nation. And then it says, Vayashkem Yehoshua babokir, Yehoshua got up early in the morning, and he looks after his troops. And the next sentences tell us about more troop movements that he arranges. And then, Pasuk Yud Gimel, sentence 13, Vayasimu ha'ames kol ha'machaneh asher mitzvon la'ir v'shakevo miyam la'ir. They set up this group in the west, they set up this group in the north. Vayelech Yehoshua balayla ha'hu besoch ha'emek. And Yehoshua went that night besoch ha'emek, in the valley. What does this have to do at all with our conversation? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Dalet Amud Beis, explains that the Malach in our conversation, the Malach who showed up to Yehoshua and said to him, Ata Basi, now I have arrived, is actually somebody who didn't show up before Yericho. He showed up in chapter 8 while Yehoshua was preparing for the second battle with Ai. Amar Lei, the Malach said to Yehoshua, Emesh bitaltem tamid shel bein hor arbayim. Yesterday, you didn't bring the carbon tamid in the afternoon. The afternoon, daily offering that's supposed to be brought in the Mishkan, you didn't bring it because you're all busy preparing for this war. Ve'achshav bitaltem talmud Torah, now you're not learning Torah. So Yehoshua says to him, al ezem ehen basa. So which thing is it that you're coming for? When Yehoshua asks the Malach, back in our story, when Yehoshua speaks to the Malach and he says, are you for us or for our enemy? He's asking, which thing are you punishing us for? Amalei Atabasi, and he says, now I have arrived. Meaning, it's not for missing the karban, it's for not learning Torah. And so it then says, Vayolan Yehoshua balayla hahu besocha emek. Yehoshua lay down that night in the emek, in literally the valley, in the depths. Rabbi Yochanan explains, Malamed shalon ba'omka shal halacha. He lay down in the depths of halacha. Wow, is this confusing. This is incredibly confusing. And Radak looks at it and he says, V'zeh hadrash rachok. This is distant. This is really unlikely. First, his first objection is, why are you punishing Yehoshua for not learning Torah when he's leading the nation into war? Ein sha'as ha'melchama sha'as talmud Torah. He says, when you are going to war, that isn't the time for Yehoshua to be learning. This is a whole other discussion about the merit of learning Torah as protective, but you're the general. We need you with the troops. That's Radak's first objection. Second, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. This event with the Malach happened, it's recorded in Perek Hey before anything with Yericho. Vayala and Yehoshua, the whole business of Yehoshua lying down in the valley, in the depths, which you call the depths of Torah, that's much later on. That's in chapter 8. That's Kihu b'Melchemes Ha'ai. That's in the war with Ai. Not only that, but even in the war with Ai, this passage that you're bringing in chapter 8, sentence 9, it said, Vayala and Yehoshua. Yehoshua went, lay down. And in sentence 13, it says, Vayelech Yehoshua balaylahu besocha emek, that he went into the emek, but not vayalen. Vayalen was in sentence 9. Emek is in sentence 13. You're moving things around in order to make this work. This is very, very difficult. Now, Radak's point does not change the validity of the message, right? The overall message, which is the Gemara's goal, is to emphasize the importance of learning Torah. That's what this medrash is doing. And it's true that sometimes you will have a medrash which will fasten on certain things in the text, in the psukim, that are odd. Like in chapter 8 in Yehoshua, there's a little bit of odd language in sentence 9 and sentence 13 that I don't want to go into right now, just because we're already at the 10-minute mark and more. But this medrash is seizing the opportunity to teach a lesson. But the bottom line is that it's very hard to say that our story with the Malach happened after Yericho and after the first war with Ai. So tomorrow what we'll need to discuss is the question of what exactly did this Malach show up for? How does Yehoshua know that it is a Malach? We need an understanding of what's going on here. Thank you very much.